It's planting season, and it's not too late to make sure your crops grow up fed and happy. Regardless of your spring crop, Fed and Happy offers a variety of worm-casting solutions in liquid and solid form to supercharge your soil, your yields, and your profitability. For fast, vibrant germination and seedling growth, mix your seed with Fed and Happy's screened granular castings pre-drilling. The Fed and Happy liquid seed treat and extracts offer the ideal mix of soluble solids loaded with living beneficial biology, mycorrhizal fungi, humates, and more. The Fed and Happy small spreadable castings are ideal for fast, easy soil incorporation. The large offer long-term stability and soil growth. But you don't have to figure this out on your own. Just call 833-GO-WORMS to speak with our farm team experts for a fast turnaround on a custom solution for your needs. Fare better against pests, disease, drought, and other potential hazards this season with Fed and Happy worm castings. Visit fedandhappy.com for a healthy harvest and any lawn, garden, and tree care needs. Available for pickup and on-farm delivery. That's fedinhappy.com. Or call 833-GO-WORMS. Happy planting. Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast. Home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time. Together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I'm recording today's show from my favorite screened-in porch, watching the leaves dance and listening to the birds sing. Now, I've got pretty good mics. I don't know if you can hear all of that, but there are much quieter places we could possibly record this interview. But in celebration of spring, it felt necessary to just hit record on this porch time smoke sesh with my friend Kathy. Join us as we celebrate curiosity and cannabis and the growing pains of finding your way. Speaking of growing pains, this podcast is covered by MJ Relief, the muscle rub PhD formulated for what aches and pains you. And this week, we'll hear from Angela. Listen to her story of relief.
I've been using MJ Muscle Rub now for, I don't know, maybe about 6 months. And man, what a lifesaver. I am 55 in my birth certificate and I'm 35 in my head. So I still love to run and hike and, you know, just continue to work out like crazy, but I get a little bit more aches and pains than I used to. And I just use the muscle rub, especially at night, right before I go to bed. And oh, I feel like a new person the next day that can go out and go for another run. So thanks for keeping me up and at 'em and letting my body match what my mind thinks it can do.
If you're feeling Angela's pain and want some muscle and joint relief of your own, head over to mjskinrelief.com and order a tube for you and another one for a hardworking woman in your life. That's mjskinrelief.com. And if you're already a fan of MJ Relief, please send a video or voice memo and let me share your story of relief on the podcast. And tag at @mjskinrelief if you want to give us some love on social. The Sustainability Roll-Up is presented by OCB Rolling Papers. In perfect harmony with natural, sustainable practices, it's always been the OCB signature to provide the highest quality, responsibly sourced, and sustainably crafted rolling papers. Bamboo has been a darling of the sustainability movement for decades and used by humans as both a food and natural resource for thousands of years. Bamboo is one of the most persistent and versatile grasses on the planet and requires little water. And compared to an equivalent tree mass, bamboo produces 35% more oxygen. And research has shown that bamboo can absorb as much as 12 tons of carbon dioxide per hectare per year. That's a lot of carbon sequestration for a naturally renewing grass. When harvested, bamboo regrows from its own root system, which is convenient as hell and excellent for soil health. The shallow roots of the bamboo creates a fibrous network underground, which helps to hold the soil together. By not disturbing the roots between harvests, the soil conditions, the microenvironment, and the water absorption continues to improve. Another cool thing about bamboo is that it is both light and strong. Stronger than steel, in fact. I read that bamboo has a tensile strength of 28,000 pounds per square inch, where steel only has a tensile strength of 23,000 pounds per square inch. And it grows exceptionally fast. Some varietals can grow up to 4 feet per day. And bamboo can be made into anything from homes to rolling papers. Last year, OCB rolled out America's first ultra-thin, slow-burning bamboo rolling papers and cones that have been taking the market by storm. OCB bamboo is harvested responsibly, is highly sustainable, chlorine-free, dye-free, bleach-free, GMO-free, and vegan. You'll love OCB even more because they make no-tear, even-burning rolling papers with natural, always-sticks acacia gum grown in African fields that OCB has been reforesting for decades. Of course, you must be 21 and older to buy OCB rolling papers and to follow at @OCB_USA on social. I've loved the OCB bamboo cones, but I've put them on the shelf as I master the classic art of hand rolling my joints. If you're a grown-up joint rolling novice, I invite you to learn the craft alongside me. Catch the Roll With Me video series lighting up on the Casually Baked YouTube channel. The next episode is Thursday at 4:20 p.m. Pacific Time. I'll also be getting these videos up on my IGTV channel, but subscribe to Casually Baked on YouTube for the live streams. And have no fear, if you haven't bought your school supplies yet, there's still time. Visit ocbusa.com/baked to get 4 booklets of OCB and a rolling tray for only $4.99. This bundle is worth $20 and is around for a limited time. But the rolling skills and street cred will earn, my friend, makes this bundle priceless. As for you OGs who can roll a joint while multitasking, I challenge you to sample the entire line of OCB products and let me know your favorite. Ask for OCB wherever you buy your papers. You'll find links to the OCB special offer as well as an interest form for joining me on an episode of Roll With Me in the podcast 184 show notes at casuallybaked.com. Whether you're new to cannabis or newly empowered to carve your own path, this podcast is for you. It's also for anyone ready to try their hand at mixing both Eastern and Western influences for DIY cannabis wellness. So have a seat in our smoke circle and get ready to stoke your creative fires. It's time to get casually baked. I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one toke. Kathy, thank you for inviting me to sit on this beautiful porch with you.
You're welcome.
I love it here.
Well, I always love it when you visit.
Yes. And we had such a lovely walk this morning and talked through the vineyards, and I just was like, you know, I want to share your story. Right now, the spring, like things are changing, things are blossoming, you know, people are feeling empowered to make some changes, do some things. We've all been in this like weird year plus hibernation. I'd like to share your inspiring story about how you're relationship with cannabis has blossomed and all the fun stuff you've got going on now.
Well, it's interesting how you ask where you mention our year and a half of isolation. And in fact, my isolation began almost 7 years ago when my husband suddenly had a massive stroke. My life dramatically changed through a series of very devastating events, his recovery, a lawsuit with his sister, and being very financially fearful, to some incredible good luck. And during this time, we had our house on the market on and off several times, and I'm helping my husband recover, and it was very difficult. And I suddenly had to take over the running of this ranch and vineyard, knowing nothing about it because I'd been isolated from the business my whole married life of 32 years or something. And responsibilities changed in my life. And I had a lot of pain in my lower back. And I got to the point where I was having to have injections twice a year. And they'd have to put me out. They'd be in my L4 and 5. And I got to the point I couldn't walk. And in fact, I had to have one of these injections 2 days after my husband had his stroke. While my husband was recovering in the hospital, he was given acupuncture several times. And it was pretty amazing how it gave him clarity. And so I started to try it. And at the same time, our life became very settled here on this property. Even though we had it on the market, we were having to do a lot of, you know, replacing a septic tank, a furnace, some major expenses. And I had to handle all of this. We had disasters, along with 3 fire years in a row. And through all of this, I was getting frustrated with using all this pain medication, this Western pain medication, even though the acupuncture was helping. So a lot of people suggested trying cannabis salves. So we started using them, my husband and I, and we loved it. We didn't love the price. Crazy, but it was incredibly effectual. And at that time, we could have California medical cannabis licenses, or not licenses, what were those called?
Your medical cannabis card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And around this time, this is 3 or so years ago, my husband, we weren't aware of it, but he had a second stroke. And so he became a lot more limited in his movement. It was in his left lower side. And my husband and I moved to a cottage on the property, and I rented out the large house, a 7-bedroom house, over 100 years old. I had to do something because we have very high property taxes, and growing grapes hasn't been profitable for almost a decade. It's difficult for small grape growers. And I thought, you know, we should maybe figure out about growing our own cannabis. And about this time, we'd become very good friends with an acupuncturist, and she gave me 6 plants. They were about maybe 3 feet high. They were well grown. And frankly, we have people on our property that were really excited to tend the cannabis. So the first year we planted these 6 plants, they were clones. I really didn't understand what I had. They were THC plants primarily. And they had been planted about 3 or so weeks. I went to visit my mother, who is in an assisted living place. And the nurse she had at the time was, I don't know what you call it, she's a cannabis nurse, in addition to being a regular nurse. And she had told me she just picked up some pure high CBD clones from a man. She gave me his name, and I called him, and I felt very adventurous calling for cannabis plants. And I was a little nervous. I mean, P was against cannabis our whole married life. I mean, my kids have been sneaking cannabis for 2 decades.
Yeah.
And I knew it, but, you know, I was happy drinking for a long time, but that was another thing. I couldn't drink anymore. I couldn't tolerate anything. And
that is a very typical problem.
Yes. And so all this was kind of started around 3 years ago. And I hadn't been able to drink wine for about a decade. But I was drinking just straight martinis, which isn't really great for me.
Yeah. Really not great for any of us.
No.
And especially our sleeping.
No. So that wasn't working well. And a couple of things happened. I planted these plants. And again, I started with these tall clones. So it wasn't really planting anything. And they were not big plants, mostly because we planted them in, I think they were 60-gallon cloth bags. my helper really wanted to plant our plants in our soil because it's so good, but you know, we might sell the house and I wanted to take my cannabis plants with me. You know, I was in the wild, wild west. I didn't know what I was doing, really. And I didn't even know what cannabis plants looked like as they grew, honest to God. I mean, I knew the leaves, but so I knew nothing.
So your first harvest, like, did you, you barely got any flower or was
Well, the plants were, Manuel was, he teased me a lot that they were sickly and small and that, you know, I should only buy the varieties he recommends. And I mean, he's hilarious. And when I was a kid, I lived in Mexico, so I speak Spanish fluently. And so we would have these very funny conversations in Spanish. It was wonderful to develop a different relationship with this man who had worked for us for 20 odd years.
Yeah.
And
that's
his,
really nice.
And his silent wife. She's the most phenomenal gardener I've ever encountered. Anyway,
she's a woman of few words.
She's a woman of few words. Anyway, I have a very interesting relationship with Olivas. I buy bulbs and seeds and she plants them and then we talk about our flowers and we talk about cats because we have four ranch cats. Back to cannabis. So the first year I had no idea what I was doing, but so along the way when you start growing cannabis, you start reading a lot of different things than you, going places you've never been before. So I took off on, besides the growing, because I had people basically growing for me, I had to supervise when I wanted to have it cut and how I wanted it hung and all that kind of stuff. But really, I was more interested in learning what can I cook. And at the same time, I was starting the Dr. Gundry program, which is basically no wheat, rice, and it's really an incredible program health-wise. And I really didn't need to lose weight, but I lost a lot of weight and gained muscle, and I feel stronger than I've ever felt in my life. So at the same time, I'm starting to understand about other kinds of herbs, not just cannabis. And so I started experimenting with making oils with herbs for my garden. I made thyme oil. I made porcini oil with my husband's mushrooms that he gathered several years before and had been drying. And I was making all these things with cannabis oil. I even made, I would get strawberries and I'd make a cannabis compote. So that first year after the harvest, I had been cooking like a madwoman, just creating all these oils, and I wanted to do a cookbook, but I realized that it's difficult to bake and cook with cannabis food. One, you don't want to heat it past a certain point, or you destroy its effects, or change the effects.
Yeah, break it.
Yeah, and two, it's hard to moderate because everyone's so different. So I realized that the real cookbook is showing people how to make sauces and oils and things that then people can add.
Yeah, and people can choose their own
exactly,
dose.
Exactly. So that kind of scooted me away from the food once I'd been there, done that, and I have, you know, many funny stories of people, you know, eating too much of it.
I
and,
do too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
I've sent people to the moon before.
Oh my God! I mean, the first time we made cannabis butter, my daughter Sabrina insisted that we separate the ghee from whatever the whey. And so we did, and a very good friend of mine, an old hippie documentary filmmaker, she took the ghee with her up to her house. And I said, you need to mark it. She forgot. And then the next day she called us. She could not make a sentence, and she was high for 2 days. She sat for about 9 hours staring at a fireplace.
Bless her heart.
Oh, my God. She was so stoned.
Yeah, just cautionary tales from your DIY kitchen.
Label, label, label. And not bad labels. Label, label, label. And all you can label is what it does for you.
Well, what it is, how much is in it, and what it does for you.
If you even know, that's the problem.
Well, but there is a systematic way of doing it, making a recipe.
There is, I know. And, you know, but you have to be smart. You have to know your cannabis.
And you have to be willing to experiment, because you're not going to get it right the first try, just like the doctors don't get your medicine right the first try.
Exactly. So from there, someone gave me a great deal of trim. And so I started playing with trim, and I started playing with making my own salves. And that the first year of making that, I have never created bigger messes in my entire life. this was 4 years ago, really, where I started looking at recipes on just as simple as how to blend wax. Well, if anyone's ever tried blending beeswax and not know what they're doing, it gets grainy. Mm-hmm. It is very problematic. And then all of a sudden I entered this world of, oh my God, all these oils have different boiling points. And all these other ingredients have different boiling points. For instance,
and the cannabinoids and
right,
the terpenes,
and you
all
have to,
of it.
You, suddenly, it was this world that was way more complicated than I ever imagined. But I really started wanting to create things that would make people feel better. And so my acupuncturist and I, we were putting our heads together about that. So the next year comes along, and I decide, I'm going to grow from seed. I can do this. So I did all this research and I bought my seeds. I got these seed kits with the little dirt sponge pouches in the domes. And I did my first year of those and I did really well.
You learned so much when you decided to go from seed, huh?
Exactly. So, that's why I ended up having to get some more seeds because a lot of them turned out to be male, which was a whole nother story was I trusted my helper to sex the plants, even though I got microscopes and all this stuff, and I got this stupid video camera so I could film, all of it was a waste of money. But I suddenly was really into the growth of this plant. About a decade ago, I'd spent a year photographing grape, the same grape vine at the end of a row. And so I used the beautiful rusting pole as a point of reference with all the photos as the seasons change. So I began to do the same thing with the cannabis plant, really understanding how it grows. And it's a thing of beauty, just like all plants are.
See, and I love that curiosity that you have, because anything that happens that's new that I don't understand and that I'm magnetized to, like, I just dive in. I want to know everything about it. I want to explore that subject. And you know, I think so many times people, they're just like, oh, I wonder. And then they just like drop the thought and
right.
move on.
Right.
And so I love that your curiosity has just like continued
well,
to deepen.
Well, I suddenly the books in my library, what I spend money on, are very different. And so I went from, buying cannabis how to cook books to starting to buy herbal books. So my first salves were made with Western, not necessarily Western herbs, but with herbs with Western names that I had become familiar with. And so I came up with the concept, okay, I want to make a cream for arthritis. I want to make one for muscles. I suddenly realized that there's all these herbs that do specific things besides cannabis. And cannabis just is pretty much the big operator, but all these other things support it.
Yes.
And so I made some salves and I had horrible adventures with mixing them. And I started learning what equipment works, what doesn't work. And that's when I decided to think that I will write a book to talk about, this is the equipment you need. Don't mess around with other stuff.
For the DIY.
For the DIY. There's some equipment that, yes, is expensive in the beginning, but then it will save you so much money because of the amount of cannabis you can leach in a very clean way without wasting expensive ingredients if you're buying good oils, particularly.
Yeah.
And particularly blending is the most difficult thing. For instance, you shouldn't ever add your essential oils until it's very low in temperature because it destroys them. And there's just all these things I learned every time I cook, every time I try new equipment. And so by the second year, My acupuncturist and I, we started putting our heads together using Chinese herbs. She and her partner are also herbalists because they're acupuncturists as
right.
part of the whole program, which I actually didn't know at the time. So we started making new formulas with the Chinese herbs, and they were leaps and bounds better than just the Western herbs. So that was a discovery, and what was wonderful, I have so many friends and family that are happy to help me on this journey and try these different things I'm making and tell me, oh, well, that would be better if you didn't have that smell, for instance. I made one salve with frankincense, and half the people loved it, and the other half, mostly Catholics, hated it. It was ex-Catholics. It was pretty funny. So that was 2 years ago. And then last year, I did my seedlings again, and I actually did the transplants myself, and then coronavirus hit. And in the strangest way, my life didn't change that dramatically because my husband doesn't move very quickly, and he's happiest at home. And so I was at home, and I, by then I'd become enamored of this property that I'd lived on for almost 34 years, and
you
I didn't know it.
Started seeing home a different way.
Yes, I started, I fell in love with this place I lived. I mean, and I started walking our vineyards every day. And if I walked every row, it was about a 3.5 mile hike. And I just started feeling differently about the land. And last year, you brought me some lovely gifts. You brought me some plants that someone had given to you that attract the bugs away from the cannabis.
So pest management.
I planted them next to my row of plants, and I had beautiful, beautiful plants last year. They were really beautiful. And last year, I did something new. Instead of being so stressed out about sexing the plants, I tried two different companies that sex your plants, which was fun. Each one had a different way of doing it. I learned words like cotyledons, which I didn't know. Cotyledons are these first leaves that show up on a plant that don't look like any of the other plants' leaves. And so one of the tests is you could send in just a cotyledon, which is like pops up within 2 days or so, and they could tell you the sex of the plant. And the other method, you had to wait and get a leaf, then you had to smash it. It was way more labor intensive.
Uh-huh.
And
did they both give you the same results?
Well, I didn't test both plants with both companies with the same plant. I used different ones because this is interesting.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was that my helper, he had planted three plants because he could. Of some very special Mexican plant. And he just kept saying it's a Mexican plant called, I can't even pronounce it.
Waliak.
But no one, you can't find anything about it online. Anyway, so he swore by it up and down, and he gave me one, and he planted the other three. And I don't know what he did to his, but his all died. And so the one that he gave me, lasted. So I got to know every single one of my plants. The two pure CBD plants grew 10 feet tall. They were wild. And then some of them were just really squatty.
Well, they're like, you know, our children. They all turn out differently. They
right.
all have their own personality.
Right.
They all have their own needs.
I mean, and so my helper's Waliak, it bloomed. I swear to God, it bloomed in May. And then when the blooms kind of disappeared again, and we're all like watching it for months thinking, oh, I think it's going to die. And did fine.
It's a good smoke.
It is a good smoke. It's a very mellow. And, you know, he's old. He likes mellow. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you had to share his flower that he gave you back to him.
Yeah. So, right. Exactly. So in the last year and a half, I then moved on from making really outstanding salves. I finally realized the equipment you need, equipment that can be kept at a certain heat and do revolutions at the same time. And
I'm going to hit pause on you for a second.
Okay.
So you are a perfectionist, and when you're going to make things, you want them to be like some professional grade product, even though it's what's sitting on your shelf and you're using it on you and your husband and the kids and me and, you know. But somebody at home that just wants to make their own stuff, a magic butter machine or what's the other one you have?
The Leva?
Yes.
Yes.
When you made stuff in those, they were still beautiful.
They were. They were. This is something I do intend to write about, is to talk about the level of what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And now I ventured out. I've got this, making the salves down. I ventured out into making different kinds of tinctures. And meanwhile, one of the problems with salves is for people who have arthritis in their fingers. So you have to figure out something that they can put on their fingers topically that isn't greasy. So I started thinking about, wow, I could do something like hand sanitizer, since there were hand sanitizer recipes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with something. I added some other things. And so I came up with another form of unguent. I call it
A pain relieving gel? Is that what we're talking about?
It is a pain relieving gel. So it basically comes out in the consistency of a hand sanitizer gel.
Yeah.
So it spreads around, but it's not greasy because it's got the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So it opens your pores and it goes, it's very effective for pain. What is most effective is if you're in a lot of pain is to do that and then put salve on top of that. And so it goes into your tissues.
It increases the bioavailability of the cannabis.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, you've just started exploring, making all kinds
of
stuff. And one of my favorite things that we do now, instead of having a regular happy hour around these parts, we have mocktails on the porch.
Yes. I first was attracted to trying to make a cannabis chocolate tincture. A chocolate bitters, actually. And so I did research and I found out all the herbs you wanted for bitters in a chocolate bitters. And I made that and added cannabis. And that became wildly popular in my group of friends. And so then I ventured into making cannicellos, I call them, with the citrus on our property. And once again, it's something I never really appreciated.
Yeah. See, I love that. I like you being able to look at everything in your life from this new perspective, thanks to a, you know, developing relationship with cannabis.
Yes.
And I get to see it every time I come. You've got something new that you've created. You're excited about something else. You have another idea. And, you know, I just think so many people, they limit what that relationship with cannabis is based on, oh, I use a vape pen or I go to the dispensary and I get my flower. And it's, you know, if somebody does have a green thumb or they do like DIY projects, you know, cannabis is a really, really fun one to start.
It truly is. I mean, for instance, last night, I'm 65. I hang out with three other people that are in their mid 70s. And they've all are really enjoying just putting a little cannicello in their kombucha or their fruit juice. And people aren't drinking alcohol as much and everyone feels better.
Yeah.
And everyone it's can really walk, communal.
Yeah. Yes. And you can walk in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, it affects my husband a great deal less than a shot of rye.
Yeah.
So we'll continue my love affair. I hope that it becomes federally legal soon.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Now, I do want to touch a little bit on how Pete has evolved with it as well, because
yes,
he sits there reading his book, watching you do all of your experiments,
correct.
And then becomes a guinea pig.
Yes, yes. And so Pete, he doesn't like to smoke cannabis. And in fact, he's always been anti-drugs because of some experiences in his life of other people in his life. But, you know, not quite cannabis is the gateway drug to heroin. But, you know, we were respectful of his feelings. Pete changed his opinion on cannabis when he saw what it could do for him pain-wise with the salve. I remember we first fell in love with a product called Green Frog. I mean, it was truly awful stuff. It stained everything, but it was very effective. But it was like $75 for 2 ounces. It was insane. And so he was incredibly supportive of me just cooking and exploring. And he was always there to build anything he could build for me. For instance, he loves PBC and he made me a bong bowl holder out of PBC. Okay. He began enjoying vape pens and they just relaxed him. He wouldn't smoke very much, but it was amazing. It relaxed him. It seemed to kind of clear his brain a little bit. And he enjoyed those a lot. And then that kind of abated. And he got way too stoned one night on my strawberry cannabis compote on brie cheese. And that was a bad night because he has a hard time walking anyway. He slept in his chair that night. So I've tended to stay away now from the edibles with him. I think that it may have something to do with his stroke. What he will do, though, and I guess it is an edible, is he very much enjoys about a half a dropper full of tincture in fresh juice, or he likes it in cherry juice in particular. And it's just amazing. So he does that most of the nights. Instead, a couple nights of the week, he'll have a little shot of rye. But the other nights, he has the cannabis. He's relaxed. He sleeps well. He doesn't complain of pain. And he still beats me at cribbage. And on top of that, he's so happy when we start creating things. He supports me in every way. I love the magic of cannabis.
I do too. And I think it's been magic watching your relationship unfold. And I mean, I remember Sabrina and I would, you know, have to hide and smoke before we came in. And now we have like these little 420 family happy hours. It's amazing.
I love it. My favorite is when my children have friends over and they come over to the cottage and I make them beautiful tinctured coffees. And some with cannabis, some not. I've made some cocoa rye. There's just this world of things we can make on our own. And I don't know if it was the pandemic or just a new path in my life.
Yeah. It's fun to forge new paths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's not without roadblocks or growing pains. But it feels good powering through them and getting on the other side and being like, wow, I did that.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I would love to be able to share these experiences with a lot more people. I think people across this country should start embracing the cannabis lifestyle.
Yeah.
I really do. And
And we have this beautiful little slice of the wine and wheat country, and I look forward to being able to share this with other people too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. High five on that one.
You too, girl.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me. Is there anything that maybe we didn't touch on, or book recommendation or something to get people inspired?
I think if you're just starting out and you know absolutely nothing, there is a woman, her name is Sherry Cannabis. I don't agree with everything she says, and she definitely is plugging products, and she's got to make a living. Good for her. But she has a series of instructional videos that really started me out. She can hold your hand. They're worth every penny. And she improves them all the time. You've got all these recipes. So I would say she would be the go-to place for an absolute newbie.
All right. Well, I'll get that link from you and include it in the show notes as your recommendation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that.
You got it.
Now, are you ready to get casually baked?
I am so ready.
No matter your age, I hope you're inspired to do hard things. I encourage you to look at cannabis, as well as your own beliefs, habits, and obstacles, with a fresh perspective that serves your highest good. Instead of being fearful, get excited to venture out and explore new things. And don't mistake the physical discomfort and agitation of trying something new as a sign that it's time to quit. Trust me, that fish out of water feeling, it's normal when you're figuring stuff out. I feel that way all the time. And it's certainly okay not to know where you're going when you start something. So practice being open to receive all of the lessons and answers you'll need along the way. And what's even cooler is that focusing and working through difficult moments and problem solving and developing new skills, that improves neuroplasticity, which helps keep our brains sharp. So stay curious, my friend. Never stop moving, learning, and exploring. And have fun discovering new ways to appreciate plant medicine for both wellness and overall quality of life improvement. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, help spread the message far and wide by rating and reviewing the podcast. I've been at this podcasting thing for 5 years, and I will testify that it takes a village to shine a positive light of awareness on the cannabis lifestyle. And your small action helps other canna-curious folks find this highly responsible cannabis content. So thanks for doing your part to Puff Puff, pass it on.
Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Larry Mishkin, and I'd like to invite you to join Rob Hunt and me on our weekly podcast, The Deadhead Cannabis Show. Each week, we explore the latest cannabis and jam band news and reminisce with other deadheads and jam band lovers about the great musical acts that we've seen and heard. Check out a new episode every Monday.